You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversation with Sheree. I'm your girl, Sheree, and I am here today with two very, very, very special guests. But before I jump into that, let me jump into this and remind you, you're listening to WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul, and the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And what's up, Savannah? It's another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. You know how we do it? Naked, unashamed, and unapologetic with our truth, and we're going to pay it forward. Yes, 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 sir. Yes, ma'am. And we're coming for you ladies today. It is a family affair. Yes, you heard me correctly. I have my identical twin daughters in the studio with me today, and they're two very, very, very special gifts. We have Ariel, Ivy, McKinley Watson, and Melody Rain. She got her grandma singing today. What's up, ladies? Are you in the studio? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. What's up, Savannah? It's Shanice Darian. Hey, I'm good. This is Latrice Darian. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing out there?
They're country, guys. They're country. It is a family affair. My house is full with grandbabies, and these girls are here today because it's a family affair, but I got two of my oldest grandchildren here today, and DJ, Mr. DJ is here. We want to say hello. Say what's up, DJ.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. And we have the oldest of the pack, Miss London, Nicole Solomon. London, why don't you say hello, Savannah?
Hi.
Savannah. Oh my God, bringing you guys a little bit of joy today from the Darian family. And we're here because we have the twins. The twins are here. They have a story of giving birth, right? And it's been a journey. You know, it's a beautiful thing, especially in the midst of 2020 and post-COVID. But family is everything, guys. You know, we have a lot of dreams and goals and success stories, but my greatest success story is my children and my children's children. So we're here today. We're going to share a little bit about motherhood, ladies. We are closing out or just closed out Women's History Month, but it goes on, right? We don't need a month, ladies. High five to you. So we're going to start with Shanice, and she's going to tell us what her journey has been like before actually giving birth to this beautiful baby, but also being pregnant throughout COVID. So you start where you want to, daughter, and just speak to the people today.
Okay, I think this is my third time actually being on this show with my mom.
Welcome.
So in the beginning, as I stated in previous recordings, I had two miscarriages, one at 8 weeks and one at 11 weeks, right before 12 weeks. And my third time's a charm, baby. I got pregnant with my almost now 6-month-old baby girl. Yeah. And Ariel Ivy McKinley Watson. And so having miscarriages was hard, but now when I look on it, now that I have a baby here with me, it's crazy. It almost seemed like it never happened. So now that I have her and I experience the joys of motherhood every day, something that I thought that I would never be able to experience, it's kind of still surreal. I wake up every morning and to her little gummy smile, and I think it was all worth it. So I know that it was a lesson learned in all the miscarriages and mishaps that I had in the past, but I'm so grateful now.
So you're right. You were here. This is the third time. I think the first time was after the first miscarriage. You know, and I know it certainly I've been able to witness the journey that you've experienced, but I also get to witness this beautiful blessing too. When I tell you this girl will mean mug you, Savannah, OMG. She's finally now just starting to smile just because, like, she just smiles all the time now and you can tell her personality, but it's been a beautiful thing to watch. But I really want you to speak to expecting parents out there, not just the mothers, but also as much as possible, try to speak to the fathers as well. to be encouraging, because I mean, that's, I mean, really, that was a hard time. But most definitely, you had to speak to the women, because I think it's a different thing when you're, I can imagine as a woman, you feeling like you could not do something that it comes so natural to so many women. What do you say to that?
Yeah, it was definitely heartbreaking to me to have to, you know, not only have miscarriages, but experience, I have two sisters, so experience them having children and me not being able to have children. So I always thought I'd be like the auntie with no kids, right. You know, and I didn't really like that. I didn't want that life for myself. So having the miscarriages and going through that also, I mean, even though I had my, you know, partner that was, you know, tried to support me during that time, it still feels like you're alone, because you think like your body was made for this.
Right.
Your body was made to have kids, and then you can't have it, or something's wrong with your body. The doctors tell you, oh, they don't know what's going on. They ask you for your fetus, to test your fetus, to test your blood, and then nothing comes back. So you just stuck like, what's wrong with me? That type of, you know, thought in your head keeps going round and round. But right now, I still don't know the reasons why I had that miscarriage. I know that there was a greater purpose, of course, from God, but I'm just so grateful to be here now.
So that's really, really good. We're going to shift to Latrice, because Latrice is here, and Latrice had the privilege of conceiving twice and delivering two very healthy, beautiful children. But what's so funny, as you were talking, I was sitting here thinking about the when you guys told us you were pregnant the first time, right? And then the second time. So I want you to be able to talk a little bit about that, about what that was like when you actually told us. And then maybe you could share a little bit about your journey, how you guys being identical twins, but you had total opposite experiences when it came to conceiving and, you know, your whole trimester and obviously giving birth.
Well, this is my first time on the show. I'm Latrice. I'm the younger twin, a whole 27 minutes. But anyway, technically I found out I was pregnant first, and then I was like, maybe you should take a test too, because she said that her cycle was late or whatever. And then she found out later on the same day that she was pregnant as well. We didn't plan it or anything. Everybody keeps asking, did you plan that? No, it just happened that way. And of course, I went on to have my son, DJ. He's almost two now. But back then, when I found out that she miscarried, I was, for one, scared, because, you know, we twins, we share DNA and stuff. I was scared that I may miscarry, but I was also more so scared and sad for her, for her loss. And we don't really have that twin telepathy thing when somebody punches her and it hurts me, but that hurt me pretty deep back then. But it just makes me so happy now to see her happy with her little one. She's so healthy and chunky and fat and beautiful. So now the second time, same thing happened. We got pregnant together. This time again, I found out that I was pregnant. And what happened was, I asked her to have her prenatal vitamins, and she wouldn't let me have them. And then she wouldn't tell me why. And I was like, she's throwing me. Somebody pregnant. She's pregnant. I don't know. And then when I finally told our mother on her birthday that she was pregnant, she said the gag is she was pregnant too, but I had already known. So we went through our pregnancy. She was very careful, making sure that she did everything to keep her and the baby healthy. And we both ended up having babies. She had her baby in October, and I had my daughter, Melody Rain, in November. So
that's all interesting. As you're speaking, obviously memories are coming back to my mind. I'm thinking DJ's accidents, your oldest child born with a broken clavicle. So collarbone broken, which we learned is actually pretty common during birth.
Right.
While everything was going on, I was a bit clueless. I didn't know anything. But afterwards, they told us that he had got stuck behind my pelvic bone, and they had to do a bunch of different maneuvers to try to get him out. But he was pretty stuck, so they end up breaking his clavicle while they were pulling him out. Immediately, I noticed that something was wrong, because he was crying a whole lot, and he wasn't really moving one of his arms. But it was like, it's okay, it's okay. And then later on, yeah, they confirmed that it was broken. but it is pretty common in newborns, and it took like maybe a week or so for it to get that little callus on it and heal up. And he's perfectly fine now.
Yeah, Savannah, he's perfectly fine after just having a cast on recently while playing on Nana's stairs to go upstairs with his cousin. And where was the leg broke? Was the bone broken in the leg?
It was broken, yes, right up under his knee. They call it a toddler fracture. That is also very common in kids. He's just going to be one of those clumsy kids, I guess.
And one day they're in the doctor's office getting on a full cast up to his mid-thigh. And the very next day, back in the doctor's office, having it removed. He is healed, but I think he is going to be the prone grandkid out of all of them. Now, you mentioned being very careful, Shanice being very careful when she was expecting. I want, Shanice, you to talk about what that meant to you, because obviously you conceived this last time in the midst of COVID. And being a teacher too. So you can talk a little bit about that. I'm going to pass the mic to you in just a moment. Patrice, I'm going to come back to you first because you've had two very different births. Now, granted, you gave birth to a Melody, again, in the season of COVID as well, where, you know, very limited, only you and your husband were able to be there. Obviously, I was there initially and then I had to leave. But again, totally different environment. First baby being natural, second baby being C-section. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about how no two pregnancies are identical?
Right. So yeah, they both were very different. DJ's pregnant with DJ, I was chilling the whole time. I had no morning sickness, no nausea. All I did was eat and sleep. So the pregnancy was pretty easy. Now with birth, my water broke. We went to the hospital. I labored for a while. I got stuck at 9.5 centimeters for like what seemed like forever. Then I ended up getting the epidural, but I did end up pushing him out pretty smoothly. And other than the collarbone, he was nice and healthy and all that good stuff. Now, Melody, I had a little bit of nausea with her, but the pregnancy was pretty smooth as well. But she was a big baby. Everybody thought she was going to be so big. My belly was so big. And we delivered at 38 weeks. And we had to do it via C-section. The doctor would not let me do it naturally because they were scared that she might get stuck behind my pelvic bone as well. So we did an emergency C-section. We had to do it like 11 minutes after I got to the hospital. I was so scared. I was freaking out because I had planned for a natural birth. And C-section wasn't even on my mind, but we said a prayer and everything went smooth. It was a beautiful birth.
And they're gorgeous children. You have absolutely beautiful children. In fact, all of my grandchildren. And yes, Savannah, I am very biased. So we're going to shift the conversation. We're going to go to Shanice to hear a little bit about what it means to be high risk and pregnant and among a pandemic. And Shanice, I want you to start with picking up with how you had to be very careful based on previous experiences. And then why don't you create a timeline for us? Like, when did you find out you were pregnant? You know, what each trimester looked like, doctor's visits, so forth and so on.
Okay, yes, I had to be really, really careful. I was already apprehensive with this pregnancy because I had already had two miscarriages. And to tell the truth, I really didn't have a lot of faith in this pregnancy.
Oh, tell the truth.
Because I had already lost two babies. So I'm like, okay, if it happens again, it just happens again. So I was just really going with the flow. But I found out that I was pregnant. I think it was February 18th. I was actually in the gym. So I was trying to get my body back, you know. I was actually in the gym and I took a pregnancy test. And I texted to my teacher friends and it was like, oh my God, D. Yeah. So then I decided to keep it a secret until I got to 12 weeks because I didn't want to, you know, get anybody all excited and tell them that there was a baby on the way. And that extends to the story that Latrice was telling about. She told my mom that she was pregnant on her birthday, on my mom's birthday. And I'm like sitting in the background, like, oh, should I tell them? Should I tell them? And I'm like, oop, the gag is I'm pregnant too. So that was a fun experience. Everybody was shocked. But as far as the doctor goes, they prescribed me some progesterone suppositories. So those had to be inserted every day, every night before I went to sleep up until I was about 13 weeks. And we also bought a baby Doppler offline, and I made my mom find my baby in my belly pretty much every week. Because, you know, in the beginning when you're pregnant, you don't really go but like once a month. So being so high risk, I was very, very worried. So I wanted to hear her heartbeat like all the time. So we used it very often. And then after that, my trimester, my trimesters went very smoothly. We had no problems, even down to the diabetes test where you have to drink that little nasty drink. Everything came back perfect. They did her anatomy scan. Everything was great. So no problems during pregnancy. But when it came to delivery, actually, the day of my sister's baby shower for Melody Rain, I started having contractions all day long. At first, it was just felt like period cramps, but I kind of knew that they were contractions because I hadn't been feeling them the entire time of my pregnancy. I had been having the Braxton Hicks, you know, often, but I hadn't been having any, you know, real contractions or cramps. So that whole day was a Saturday. That whole Saturday, I was feeling cramp after cramp after cramp. And then I think it was 7 a.m. sometime Sunday morning. And when I tell you those cramps was biting my back, I decided to come downstairs to try to ease it, to walk around. I came downstairs. I was having cramps really bad. I was bent over the sink, the kitchen counter. I was just really trying to relax and see how much I can bear the contractions because I didn't want to go to the hospital and they send me back home. So I had enough. So I just went in my mom's room. I'm like, listen, I think we need to go to the hospital. Yeah, it was really early in the morning. So I think we got to the hospital maybe about 8 o'clock. And I got there. They checked me. It was like, oh, yeah, you're 4 centimeters, so you can stay. I was so happy. And then we got... Oh, yeah. Yeah, my Nana got there. She drove me to the hospital, which was great. We went to McDonald's, got a McGriddle because I was scared that I couldn't eat. We got to the hospital. But then, you know, during the midst of COVID, that time they wouldn't let you have more than one person in the delivery room with you. Now, I'm used to my expectations in my mind seeing my sister give birth to DJ. So what I tell you was like 12 people in the room. Like all our family was in the room. Yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna have this great big support system. This is my first baby after having two miscarriages. Like, I could do this. No. My mom had to switch out with my boyfriend, so it was just me and him. So that was already nerve-wracking. And then I think about when I got to about 5 centimeters, they were ready to give me the epidural, which I really, really needed. So I got that, and that was even worse for me because they wouldn't let him, my boyfriend, stay in the room with me. So it's just me, the nurse, and the anesthesiologist. So I'm just like really freaking out because the contractions are there. I don't have my mom. It was terrible. Yeah, and they're sticking a needle in my spine. Oh my gosh. But the nurse, she was wonderful. She just told me, you know, relax, you know, let everything go vertebrae by vertebrae so you can get it and then it'll be over and you'll feel much better. So I ended up doing that and having that be done. And then the real crazy part came for me is because I don't know if everybody knows this, but the doctor told me when you get close to giving birth, you're going to start shaking like uncontrollably. So that started happening, like teeth chattering, shaking, like uncontrollably. And my boyfriend's just looking at me like, oh my God, are you okay? I felt like I really had to control myself because I thought I was going to bite my tongue. That's how bad that I was shaking. And then I felt her coming down. It was like really, really bad pressure. And I told them like, listen, she's about to come out of there. And she came. The nurse came back in and she was like, oh yeah, you're ready to push. 12 minutes later, she was here.
That's pretty phenomenal. That's pretty incredible. So much is going through my mind because obviously I was here. I got to witness all of this, you know, from the ultrasounds to the doctor visits to the progesterone to, you know, the sonogram to listening to the baby to, is it an eggplant today? Like, what is it? The monitor on your phone. So much is going through my mind too. I was going to ask you about the epidural experience. I'm glad you shared about that because the shaking part, you know, we were on the phone with you watching on FaceTime and seeing you, like, oh my God. But I was so glad though that they kind of prepped you for that and said, this is just really a side effect. But ladies, if you're listening, yeah. And no two pregnancies obviously are the same. We're talking to identical twins today. My daughters, Shanice and Latrice Darian, one who after two miscarriages is now holding a very precious daughter, baby girl, who will be 6 months on April 4th. And then the other twin, the younger of the two, who now has two gorgeous children, a little boy and a little girl. And she's had the natural experience and the epidural experience. So we'll hear from her and tell us, you've had the opportunity of giving birth in a normal, which now normal has become abnormal. What is that, right? But pre-COVID, and then also to give birth in the midst of COVID too. So why don't you talk to us about that, and then your own epidural experience, because you've experienced that too.
All right. So with DJ, you know, even with pregnancy, you can have more than one person at your doctor's visits. My husband could come to every one of these visits. Every time we went to hear his heartbeat or do his anatomy scan or anything, I could have someone go with me. But with Melody, it was only me. They wouldn't let anybody in with me. It was just me at our appointments. And that was so weird.
Did you have to take COVID tests?
Right before birth, right before the C-section, they did make me take a COVID test and it was negative. So they proceeded to go ahead and get me prepped for technically surgery. Yeah. Now, and back with DJ, like Nee said, it was a cool 6-7 of us. In the delivery room, everybody was standing back watching, and it was so cool having a little cheerleading team like push. And but with Melody, yeah, it was just me and my husband, and it was so different because for one, it was a C-section and not natural, so I didn't have to push, but also it was just us.
So I wish her dad, her husband, Melody and DJ's dad was here. Thus, Melody Rain's name. Think about it. He sings very, very well. In fact, the twins actually have a gorgeous voice as well. But I understand there was someone else that was singing in the labor and delivery room as well. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, so like I said before, we weren't prepped for a C-section, so we were both kind of freaking out. And the anesthesiologist actually asked if we would like to hear some music, like to calm our nerves. And was like, yeah. And then he asked my husband what he would want to listen to. And he was like, 70s music. And he was like, oh, yeah, I have that. How about some Lionel Richie? And they put on Lionel Richie. And my husband started singing. And it was like, oh, you have such a great voice. And then the doctor actually started singing. They were both singing it together. And then a couple of minutes later, they were pulling Melody out. She came to a song. It's crazy.
Well, that's a good segue. Let's talk about the names. We have Melody Rain and we have Ariel Ivy McKinley Watson, the fourth. So let's talk about the names. How'd you guys choose your names? We're going to start back with you and then we're going to shift to Shanice.
All right. So DJ, of course, he's his dad's first son. So he had to be a junior.
And his name is
Demetrius Antonio Dante Garvin Jr. Long name, I know. And Melody Rain, me and her dad actually met in high school in chorus class. So that's where that came from.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know the whole reason of her name being Melody, but was because of how you guys initially met. That's pretty cool. What about you, Shanice, with your six, I don't know, how many names does this kid have with nicknames as well?
Well, her full name is Ariel Ivy McKinley Watson, okay? And her dad named her. I had nothing to do with her name, which I had no problem with because I was just glad that I was pregnant with a healthy baby. I didn't really care what her name was. Right, just come home with me healthy. I didn't care. But her dad's name is Mario Watson, so he named her close to his name. So that's why her name is Ariel. And then Ivy is just short for IV, which is the Roman numeral for the number 4. And McKinley is my boyfriend's brother's name that he's passed away. So she would have been the fourth McKinley. So that's why her name is Ariel Ivy McKinley Watson.
Pretty fantastic, ladies. We're going to come back in just a moment. Savannah, I want to remind you, you're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. We're on today speaking with identical twin mothers. How cool is that? Ladies, we're going to celebrate all of you, and we're going to certainly have them encourage you if you have already been on your journey to motherhood and perhaps lost a kid or two. And for those that have given birth, right? Because we got all types of success stories here. They're being so good. The babies are here. I think DJ is actually on the iPhone, believe it or not. And then the babies are taking a nap. So we're going to be right back with you, Savannah. Thank you so much for listening.
How long have you been listening to WRUU? If you're a longtime listener and haven't yet supported us with a financial gift, now is your time to give us your support. We won't ask you any questions. Our forgiveness is unlimited. You know that you should be supporting this all-volunteer community radio station because you enjoy it, and scores of volunteers donate hundreds of hours each week to make it possible. Other listeners are sharing the burden of paying for this radio station's expenses, so why not you? It's quick and easy, and the amount is up to you. And whether you've been listening a few days or a few years, thank you for your support of WRUU 107.5 FM.
And we are back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversation with Cherie. I am Cherie, and today I am on the line with all four of my beautiful grandchildren, one in which you will hear in the back. His name is DJ. And so this is a real show with real people. And Savannah, please forgive us for any hiccups in this. We want it to be genuine. We want it to be honest. We want it to be powerful, and most certainly want it to be encouraging. So we're going to pick up on life after birth, the reality of motherhood, what life is like. We're going to start with Shanice, because Shanice had the disheartening pleasure of losing two babies. And wow, even when I just say those words, the second loss is so vivid in my mind. However, we're not here to, you know, bring you down, because we're really, really grateful to the Lord God Almighty for this little precious angel that you now hold in your arms. But I know it was a journey to get her here. So now, life after birth, let's talk about motherhood. What is it like, Shanice?
Life after birth, I think it's an incredible experience. From being in the hospital right after having her to like really not wanting to even close my eyes to like stare at her all night long, being in disbelief that I actually have a baby is crazy. And then, you know, they always say, you need to sleep when the baby sleep. And I'm like, yeah, not at first. I want to look at her. I want to smell her. I want to see her. I want to think about what I'm going to put her in, what kind of clothes I'm going to put her in. And my Ariel, when she came out, she was only 6 pounds and 2 ounces. So I'm already thinking the clothes that we pack is way too big. So I remember having to call my nana and tell her, like, listen, she need preemie clothes. She is so small. Now. Right. And now she is almost 16 pounds.
And you look at those preemie clothes.
Right. I look at those preemie clothes, and compared to the clothes she wear now, I'm like, I don't even remember her being that small. It's so weird. But life at the birth, like initially when we got home, things were pretty smooth. It's nothing that you can imagine. As a person that never had kids, never experienced motherhood, you know, people tell you it comes naturally, and it really does, but it's a learning experience. Like, you can't plan for it. You just take it moment by moment, step by step, day by day, even, you know, minute by minute, really. Some you have sleepless nights where the baby is just hungry, or you don't know what's wrong with them. It's called, well, it does usually happen to me around growth spurts. So like 3 months and 2 months. And whenever they reach a milestone, they have like sleepless nights when they want to stay up or are really cranky. That was the most challenging time when it came to being a first time mom. And then, breastfeeding, Lord. In the beginning. Breastfeeding, you know, everybody encourages you to breastfeed. One, it's free, you know, formula costs a lot. And so I wanted to try that, because I know they say that's the most healthy way to keep your baby, you know, strong and their immune system boosted and stuff like that. So initially I was like, yeah, gung ho for breastfeeding, because I knew my sister Latrice breastfed my nephews. So I started breastfeeding. At first she didn't latch on, so we got some what they call nipple shields to help her to latch. And initially she had to keep getting formula because she wasn't eating as much. about I think the third week, not the third week, I'm sorry, the third day after I had her, my milk came in. So I'm like engorged. I mean, balloons. My breasts were balloons. They were hard as rocks, full of milk. So I had to start pumping. That hurt. Pumping hurts when you first start feeding babies. Breastfeeding hurts so bad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to scare any of you pregnant moms or expecting moms. I'm so sorry. But I have to tell you, you got to keep it real, friend. That thing hurts. But it's really, really worth it. No. After a couple, maybe the first 2 weeks, it's really like you don't even think about it anymore. Baby finds a nipple and they're just eating. Yeah. So you just really get used to it, but you just have to stick to the mindset like, this is healthy for my baby. I can do this. Your breasts were really made for that. So yeah, it does definitely gets easier. And then, so besides breastfeeding and then the growth spurts, being a mom to me, it's pretty easy. But I will tell you another thing. You do not have time for yourself anymore. Don't throw that window. Throw your me time out the window in the beginning. I remember, I'm so sorry if this is TMI, but I really had to take my baby everywhere that I go. Had to use your bathroom. Don't have nobody to hold the baby, or baby is spora and like mine. You have to take them with you. You just have to take them with you. Me time is non-existent. And I don't mean to say that to say, moms, just throw it away. Don't make time for yourself. You have to make time. Make time for yourself. That's definitely true. But in the beginning, it can feel overwhelming because your baby will pretty much only want you. Unless that's just my experience as a mom.
I think that's an excellent segue there, because I was going to ask you about the myths that you have, I guess, decoded. And the one thing that stands out to me is what you just said, her being spoiled rotten, but she didn't always say that, Savannah. She said it was a phase, right? You cannot spoil a baby. It's just a phase. So are you a mama bear? Talking about that phase again. Are you a mama bear? Do you find yourself, I know you did. I know the answer to this, but I want you to be honest and answer and help others, because we're here to serve. Are you a mama bear? In other words, if she maybe initially versus now, maybe you can identify the difference, be distinct in that. Would you run at the moment, little cry, little whine? And then I want you to talk briefly about dads. And then we're going to shift the conversation to Latrice to get her perspective as well.
Yes, I am a mama bear. I will admit to that. In the beginning, as my mom said, I did say that, oh, I read that you cannot spoil babies. You have to respond to their cries because that's their only way of communication. But my baby is spoiled rotten. She really is. She loves her mom. She really only wants a mom. She's breastfed. We have a very close bond. I don't know. Maybe I'll do better with the next baby. But as far as dads go and me responding to her cries, in the beginning, I was really bad. She made a little. I was there picking her up, hugging her, kissing her. Now I stand at the bottom of the stairs or wherever I'm at a little while until she actually starts crying, like not just whining or making noise, but just actually crying. And then I'll go get her. With me responding to her dad, their relationship have grown a lot. So in the beginning, she really only wanted mom. Like, that's it. She didn't want to be with dad. She didn't want to be with Nana, nobody, just mom. And now with her dad, she'll play with him. She'll let him hold her and everything like that. And I was really just anxious. Like, whenever she cried, like, she used to holler, like, scream. Yeah, to the top of her lungs where her dad was holding her. I'm just like, give me a. Just hand her here. Like, she don't cry like that when she would be. Just give her here. I can't take it. I cannot. Even to this day, I just cannot take those screaming cries, because I know to me something's wrong, you know? So, but now she doesn't really do that much with him, unless she's like extremely sleepy or she's really cranky. That usually only happens when she gets shots now. But dads, please be patient with moms. It is hard. It is hard to hear your baby crying, especially me having to have two miscarriages and I finally get a baby and I got to listen to her scream just like her lungs. No way. No way. I'm sorry. You just got to be patient. Know that they're trying to be patient with you too to help you and the baby learn your roles, for them to learn that they are safe with you, just as safe with you as they are with mom.
I think that's encouraging for sure. So thank you for that. We're going to shift the conversation or just shift to another perspective for man, Savannah, this is my baby twin, man. And I mean, she is married and she has two children. When I told you, none of us would have thunk it, right? Not thank it. None of us would have thunk it. Like, God really has a plan for our lives. And we're going to let her talk about what her life is. It's like one day I was dropping this kid off literally to move to Virginia. And the next moment she was pregnant. Well, sorry, she was married and had two children. Pregnant, married, two children. I just dropped her off. I promise you, just dropped her off to go to Virginia. And life just changed. So, wow.
All right. So, like I said before, this is my first time on the show. So let me give you guys a little bit of background, a little backstory. So me and my now husband, we dated in high school for like 2 weeks. We broke up, but we were always friends. That was like 10th grade, 2009. And we were always friends throughout the year. And then his aunt passed and I reached out to him just saying, I'm so sorry and all that. And we ended up started talking again in April. That was April of 2018. And then
we're 9 years later. You said
yeah. 9 and 18? Yes. 9 years later. We started dating right that same day. It was one day. I saw him April 15th, 2018. We started dating that same day. Wow. Then everything was going smoothly. I ended up moving to Virginia with him in August of 2018. August 3rd, the plane landed. August 20th, I found out I was pregnant. So everything went real fast. And we was in Virginia. It was only me and him. He only had his brother up there. But other than that, we didn't have any family or friends. And I was like, nope, I can't do this. It's my first pregnancy. I'm not doing it alone. Let's move home. So we ended up moving home in November. And we've been home ever since. We found out DJ was a boy, of course, in November. And he actually proposed at our gender reveal. And a year later, we got married. November 2019, we got married. It's almost been 2 years now. And now we have little Melody. Now we have two kids, a boy and a girl. So, yeah.
So your life went like fast forward.
Yeah, within 2 or 3 years, we got married, had two kids, and here we are.
So what's motherhood and wife, being a wife?
Yeah, now, being a mother at first to DJ, it did come naturally for me. It was weird. It was very weird because I was always the one that said, I don't want no kids. I'm so weird with kids. I just felt weird. But as soon as he popped up, it was instinctive. Like something just came over me like, yeah, this is my baby. We got to protect him. Got to love him. I got to do everything for him. And it was a little bit hard to do that at first because his collarbone was broken. So I'm like, oh, he's so little. I don't want to hurt him more than he already is. But that healed within a week or whatever. So it was pretty smooth. And he was breastfed. Like Shanice said, he was breastfed for a whole 15 months. And that journey was a little bit rough at first. But after a while, like one of my friends said, she's a lactation consultant. Shout out to Nala. She's a lactation consultant. And she said, your body will get used. Your nipples will get used to being treated like a cow. And ladies, they will. After a while, they won't get a sore or anything like that. You'll be good. And crazy thing is, shifting over, Melody is a formula baby. We tried breast, but my milk for some reason didn't come in as strong as it did with DJ. So she loves her bottles. So motherhood is very different. It's crazy. It's hard with two kids because you have this one and they're both in totally different stages. DJ's almost two. So he's learning and running and trying to do everything, having temper tantrums because he can't get his way, which is what they say is a phase. And Tyler's growing up about learning about boundaries and things. And Melody, she's trying to roll over and she's trying to eat food. So it's kind of a little bit overwhelming trying to balance the both of them at the same time. But I have a great support system, and their dad helps out a lot too.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, you said motherhood came naturally to you with DJ. I'm curious, have you experienced any differences between the two children now?
Okay, yeah. To be 100 with you guys, we are unapologetic and unashamed here. So, yeah, my bond with DJ is tight. He might ride or die, my best friend. But for some reason, I don't know whether it was a C-section or what, but it was so different with Melody. For some reason, we didn't click like that in the beginning. Now we're super close. She's my baby. But it is different between the both of them. Now Melody, she's getting bigger. And, you know, she's responding more to mommy. She's one, like, since she's formula fed, she hasn't been, like, stuck on me like DJ was, because he always wanted to boo. But she takes a bottle, so she'll go to anybody. I just feel like she didn't need me as much as he did. So our bond was different. But now that she's growing up and wanting mommy more, we're getting closer.
It's interesting. You know, as you're sharing, I'm thinking about the difference between you and your own twin sister.
Right.
Right? You are the reserved, laid back person. Shanice is the boss, bossy, loud, dominant one. I'm curious to know your personalities of your children. We're going to come at you, Therese, because you have two. Mm-hmm. And then we'll shift back to Shanice and learn a little bit more about Ivy.
All right. So at first, DJ was laid back, just like mommy. But now, I don't know whether it's a terrible twos or what, but he's running all over the place. He's so loud. He sings all the time. He speaks to everybody. Now, Mel, she's just like me. Chill. All she does is look at you. Look at you and smile. And that's it. She's a pretty chill baby. So once she starts crying and stuff, I know something's wrong, because that's not Mel. Mel, chill. Mm-hmm. And DJ's a crazy one.
I think DJ's just older and he's come to terms with, you know, a lot of different people. And Mel's young. How old is Mel now? 3 months?
4 months.
4 months. But she is chill mode. Like, if she's fed, she's fine.
Right.
DJ is very affectionate. He's very loving. He speaks very, very well. He's already very brilliant. And so advanced class. And so now I'm going to shift to baby Ivy. And wow, it's amazing, Savannah, because her ultrasound, she was frowning. And when I'll tell you, when she came out, it was the truth. But it's amazing to see her blossom now and not be so attached to you, Shanice. But why don't you describe your baby's personality to all of us?
Yeah, I can really speak toward the ultrasound, because we were all surprised when we finally got a picture of her face. She had one arm covered in, like, why are y'all bothering me right now? I'm really trying to sleep. Leave me alone. So we already knew that she was going to be a mean baby, a rooty tooty. So when she first was born, same attitude. Like, don't bother me. I'm sleepy. Don't look at me. I'm looking at you. I'm staring at you. Frowning. That's it. But now, as she's gotten older and gotten a little bit more independent, she smiles a lot. She smiles all the time. She loves to joke with her little cousins. She loves to play with London all the time. London makes her laugh so much. I think she's becoming a little bit more, you know, a people's person. But she probably will be very bossy like her mom.
That's really good. Now I'm curious to know how you guys are making and capturing memories, because in our family, we're huge on that, right? I pride myself on creating memories. And so I'm interested to know how you guys are doing that. Therese, your baby, oldest baby, DJ, has a mouthful of teeth. So you've already gone through the teething, you know, cycle with him, obviously. And then the potty training, right? Because he's getting to the point where it'll be time to do that soon too, and just getting prepared for that. But outside of that, any other things that you're doing to create memories and capture those for your families as they're growing?
Okay, so one of the first things we did, is, especially with the girls, was a pregnancy photo shoot. We did that one together. We took pictures with both of our partners, my husband and her boyfriend. We had big old bellies. We had matching dresses and everything. It was so beautiful and so fun to do. And with DJ, I actually did a makeshift maternity shoot in my mother's bathtub. But it was also very beautiful, very sweet. And as they're growing, I just take a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures, a lot of videos. I need more storage on my phone right now because I really take pictures, multiple pictures and videos every day, because I don't want to miss out or forget about those memories as they get older. I love looking back on DJ's pictures when he was so small, when he first started cooing and rolling over and trying to make sounds and walking and talking and all that good stuff. And I want to do the same thing with Melody as she gets older as well.
Awesome. I'm also thinking about a great memory for Christmas with the Grinch. That was pretty cool. We did a Grinch photo shoot. However, DJ didn't know, it was DJ in London, and DJ didn't know that the Grinch was really going to be on set behind them. It was absolutely, it was like one of those social media fads that was happening, and we were able to be a part of that and capture those memories. That's pretty cool. What about you, Shanice, in capturing your baby's memories? Creating and capturing, obviously.
Well, I would say Snapchat is my best friend. From waking up in the morning, because I am still a teacher, an assistant teacher for pre-K, so I'm teaching virtually now, and I've been out of school really for a year already. So I'm teaching virtually now. You can hear my niece Melody in the background. She's talking. So I've been teaching virtually. So when she wakes up, she's in my lap. She's listening to all my songs, and my kids will get on and says, "Where's your baby?" So I capture memories with her like that, taking pictures, taking videos. I took a video the other day of her rolling over on the floor. I'm like, oh my goodness. Next, you're going to be moving. We have to get a baby gate for the stairs. Oh my goodness. So yeah, just a bunch of pictures and videos. And every milestone she hits, which is 6 months coming soon, we just ordered a half birthday cake. We ordered a memory board for her for her half birthday. So we'll put how many teeth she has, how tall she is, how much she weighs, all that good stuff on there.
We're down to the last 10 minutes of the show. We certainly don't want to leave this show without serving our audience. Savannah, you've been awesome listening to our family go live today. This is why I jump out of bed every day, is to provide, to create something, build something that I could leave for all of them, my children, and obviously my children's children. So that being said, I do want to shift the conversation. We want to build somebody's faith today. Those that are listening, we want to encourage them to not give up. You guys know mom is all about second chances. And I believe second is anything after one. So whether you have had your first miscarriage or your third or your ninth, and I know that's hard, ladies, so we're not insensitive to that. What I want to say to you is you're listening to testimonies today, right? It's not a straight line. There are sometimes hiccups and things that you don't even plan for. And we're talking about losing babies pre-COVID. I'm sorry. Yeah, pre-COVID, and delivering them in the midst of COVID, right? And it's possible, right? It is literally possible. I'm telling you, those times was absolutely devastating. I'm on the outside looking in. I witnessed my own blood, flesh and blood, lose a child 2 times. But I also stand today on the other side of that, right? There's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? There's a rainbow after that storm. And I'm watching, I'm looking, and I'm seeing, I'm able to witness the growth of these precious, beautiful grandchildren. So ladies, I want you to build someone's faith today and talk to them about, you know, never giving up, right? And, you know, the sky's the limit. So go after that.
Okay, so looking back at what I said about my backstory, right before I started back dating my now husband, I was in a weird phase in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. I didn't know where I wanted to work. I had graduated college and everything, and I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was in a very weird kind of dark space, and it's crazy that just a couple months or whatever between that space and when I met my husband, it just all turned around and everything just became beautiful. It's like the sun came out of nowhere and my life had just been wonderful. It has not been perfect because we're real, but it has been wonderful ever since. I would encourage everybody to keep their faith, trust God, pray often, and never forget where you came from.
Wow, that's huge. I'm going to drop the mic on that, Savannah Joja. Hold on. We're going to give it to Shanice. Here she goes.
Yeah, I agree with my sister 100%. Even with the way I conceived with Ariel, it was very accelerated. I met my boyfriend online in November. We started dating in December. We went on our first date in December, started dating in January, found out we were pregnant in February, and gave birth in October. So yeah, it was very fast, but it was incredible. The whole experience was incredible, from going from being in a relationship of 8 years, having 2 miscarriages in that relationship, and then the next relationship you have is like so fast, and then you have a baby. It's like total opposite, but it was a great experience. And I don't take anything from my first experience because, I mean, it taught me everything that I know now. And even with my miscarriages, it makes me appreciate my daughter so much more. And I'm just sitting here for, I want to talk to everybody that's had a miscarriage, just had a miscarriage, that's, you know, thinking they might have a miscarriage with the pregnancy that they have now. I'm sitting here looking at a jar of mustard seeds, you know, the little tiny, 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 tiny mustard seeds. That's the amount of faith that you need. Just hang on to that one piece of faith, and I promise you, God will come through for you. And Ariel is waving bye-bye. Bye-bye. Say bye-bye, Savannah.
Wow, I know you guys are encouraged by today's show. I wish you could see them. I really wish you could see them. Certainly you've heard them today. But wow, I am so thankful. I am so blessed. And so are you, right? So if no one's told you today, we love you. We love you, Savannah. And I certainly enjoy having these opportunities to come to you guys and to share like real stories, real life. Real challenges, right? So that's DJ. And we're not naive to, you know, hardships and trials and tribulations, but we're also going to equally balance that out and tell you the joys, right? And we're going to celebrate. And, you know, I wrote down here, Shanice, that you often say that you kept a baby alive for 6 months.
Yes. I celebrate myself.
That's pretty cool. So in celebration, in honor of keeping her kid alive for 6 months, she is literally going on vacation. They'll have their first family vacation in about a week or so. And wow, I think it taught them so much more, so many other lessons that obviously time didn't allow us to tap into today, but we definitely just wanted to be encouraged and just share the love of our family with you. They are absolutely gorgeous. They are pretty amazing. And I am certainly blessed. And I'm just hoping that some of this love acceleration just rubs off on mom. Because I don't know about this single space, but I'm putting it out there, fellas. You hello. I know. I'm not making any more babies those days. OVER. That gate is closed, but yes, yes, yes. So I'm going to pass the mic back to Shanice and we're going to close it out, Savannah.
Okay, I just wanted to say one more thing that I was thinking about that I wanted to say. Moms that had miscarriages, I know this happens to pop in my mind every now and then. Now that I have Ariel, I kind of get this grief feeling, this kind of feeling that's like, oh, I'm forgetting about my first two babies, and that kind of bothers me. So we don't want to ever forget about them. I still try to do balloon releases on the days that they were supposed to be born, and I try to talk to them. I know sometimes I think that she's playing with them because she'll just be looking in the corner and giggling. I'm like, oh, that's your brother. Like, but yeah, I continue to think about them every day. So cherish the old with the new. Goodbye, Savannah.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible. Well, there you go. Any last words from you, Latrice, or are you good, babe?
I'm good.
She's good. Well, with that being said, Savannah, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. Want to remind you that the viewpoints expressed in a preceding program were not necessarily those of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And until next time, take care.